Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Friday afternoon. What is up?
Did it like rain or something today?
Well, I think it did.
It's about to do it again.
I believe it's about to do it again.
It was raining so much that it was building up in my truck bed. Truck beds come with holes in them so that their water will drain out, and the holes were not large enough for the amount of rain today. It was insane.
I drove the convertible today,
That was a bad decision.
I know. Well, I moved about a foot, and water just came pouring into the car off the roof. So it looks like I'm going to have to go and redo all the weather stripping because the inside of the car is all wet now.
Did you leave the top down?
No. It was up, but there was enough room in between, like where one of the seams is in the top, okay, and in the windows, where there was just a little. And I went to pull out this morning, and I heard a bunch of water pouring into the back seat. And went, oh, yeah,
that's
I think
bad.
I think we might need to.
What's your dream car?
Oh wow,
is it not already parked in your garage?
It's not. No, my There was a TV show years ago called Police Story, I think. It was a mid-80s thing, but it was set in the late 50s. And the guys that were like the two main characters on that show drove a black and white 1958 Chrysler 300D convertible. Beautiful car. If I could have any with a 392 Hemi, I mean, if I could have any car ever, would drive that one.
Okay.
What's yours?
My dad drove it. Why he sold it, I have no idea. 1961.
Mm-hmm.
Red convertible Triumph.
Triumph what? Do you know what the model was off the top of your head?
Okay. I'll just show you a picture.
Because, anything Triumph makes is absolutely beautiful. I mean, they were gorgeous cars.
Obviously, it was a two-seater.
Especially back in the 60s.
So it was like a TR4? 61, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember when they...
TR6.
No, okay.
That's a motorcycle.
Probably a TR4.
Hang on, let me look it up.
Because there was a 5 and a 6. And then, of course, the TR7. That was a little doorstop that came out in the early 70s.
My buddy's dad had a TR4 sitting in the garage forever.
That was the car.
Oh, wow. That's sharp.
It was awesome.
That's a TR3.
TR3, that's right.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, that's beautiful. The other one that kind of is along that line that I really like, you remember Get Smart? All my cars are TV cars. But Get Smart, he drove a Sunbeam Tiger.
There's another angle on it.
Yeah. Oh,
that's sweet car.
Beautiful. But yeah, the Sunbeam Tiger was exactly the same as the Sunbeam Alpine, but it had a V8 engine in it. Imagine a car that small with a V8. That's the Sunbeam Tiger. That thing was unbelievably fast.
So if I could get any car,
mm-hmm,
that would be it.
In terms of cars my dad had, The one that I remember, he got it shortly after I was born, within like a month or two after I was born. Got it brand new. Bright red 1970 Camaro. Cherry red Camaro Rally Sport. And that thing, 350, four barrel, I mean, just a road boiler, but it looked so good. Built in 8-track deck.
Of course.
Because you got to have that.
Of course.
Yes, he did have Maria Muldaur's Midnight at the Oasis on 8-track in that car. Because that's the law.
The other one I would get would be a, and you remember this car, a T-topped Trans Am black.
Yep.
Firebird.
Burt Reynolds special, yeah. Black and gold.
With the eagle on the front.
The eagle on the front and the T-tops.
That one right there.
79, yep. Dad sold those.
I would love that car.
His first job when we moved to Florida, which was summer of 1979, was for Crown Pontiac, and he sold those cars. And he said frequently you would see guys come in who were like oil industry execs, and they'd come in and pay cash for 79 Trans Am. He's like, Trans Am, I pay cash. Yeah, incredible car. And again, he brought one home on a weekend because they get demos to drive.
Right.
And one weekend, he got to take one of those home, a 79 Trans Am.
T-top.
And
I want to
tell, oh, yeah. And we took one of those off ramps off of the Crosstown Expressway in Tampa where it has like the little sign that suggested speed like 25. Dad's going 60, and it's just hugging that curve,
it's
man.
It's a suggested speed.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, probably got it up over 90 on
the
cross.
The problem is, the dream car that I want, I never see when I'm driving down the highway.
Which is?
Well, I just told you.
That one. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Like, every blue moon, I'll see a Triumph, and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. God, would you be willing to sell that thing? And every once in a while, and by once in a while, I mean like every 5 years, I'll be at an intersection and I'll look over and there is a 9 miles per gallon Trans Am
beast
T-top Firebird. And you're just like, oh.
There's a dude in Shawnee and I see him every so often at the Hy-Vee up on Shawnee Mission Parkway in Flum. Okay. And he drives a 57 Cadillac Eldorado Biarritz that's bright white. I think it's got red interior.
And you want it so bad.
Every time I see it, I'm like, oh, just for a weekend. I don't know that I would own a Cadillac, but just for a weekend, I would love to go around and just hit the highway in that thing.
Figure out what it's like to get 9 miles per gallon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my Plymouth gets 10.
Yeah, the gas doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who cares about the environment?
My old Dodge only got 9.
Right. You know what's funny, though, is that, neither one of us has mentioned, the whole supercar thing, like the Bugattis and the Lamborghinis.
Hypercars are in a different category for me.
Yeah, see, I appreciate them. I don't want one.
Are you talking about, like, Maseratis and stuff?
Maserati,
like the Bugatti, supercars.
Lamborghini, the Ferrari.
Yeah, no, I don't want one of those.
I appreciate them, but, there's nothing in that makes me want to drive that.
They also don't drive slowly very well. Like, try to take a Lamborghini and cruise at 35 miles an hour. It's horrible for the car, one. And two, it's really boring because all you want to do is hit the gas.
Yeah, in first gear.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Just barely touching the gas.
Why are
you idling? Sir, did you know how fast you were going? I was idling. I wasn't even touching the gas.
Somebody says, Grayson, get it right. It's not 1977. You want a 1979.
I said 79.
Okay.
Yeah. The Burt Reynolds special was a 79. They did make them as, like, that body, I believe, originated. That because they used to redo them every 3 years. The Camaros and the Firebirds.
Firebirds
and Camaros, they both re-upped every 3 years. And I think that body was 77, 78, 79. But the
one that I want, what is that?
That's 79? Yeah.
Yeah. I want the black one with the Firebird on the hood.
Yep.
See, I'm weird because people who are typically obsessed with cars are obsessed with one brand. But if I had all the money in the world, the first three cars that I would buy in my collection are all from different brands.
What are they?
A 1967 Ford F-100.
Oh, nice.
I would slap it to the ground and put big old wheels on it.
Attaboy.
Of course.
A 1969 Challenger, of course. Need the hood scoop.
Uh-huh.
And a split window 63 Corvette.
Now, the 69 Challenger, the hood scoop you're talking about is the air grabber, the one that pops up and has the little shark teeth on it.
It's pretty.
Uh-huh. And 69, you said Charger or Challenger?
Charger.
The Challenger.
Oh.
Yours is the Challenger because the 69 Charger was the General Lee. That's the Dukes of Hazzard car. Thank you.
I love them. I love old cars. I'm weird.
No, you're not.
No.
Old cars are awesome.
At 26, Sam, the three of us are literally cars that are three times as old as I am.
Sam, we're literally talking about cars that were made before we were born.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
From the text line. Come on, guys. Now I have car show fever.
Aww. Yeah, there's nothing like it. And I don't even know why. I love tail fins. That era from 1955 to 1962-ish.
But here's the tail fin is tricky. Because every once in a while, I'll see a guy driving down the road in like a Honda Accord.
Uh-huh.
With a gigantic tail fin. And I'm like...
No, I'm not talking about about the spoiler. I'm talking about the fins on the side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like my old Plymouth. Yeah.
Okay. 913-586-7798. John Grayson filling in today for Dana Wright. Hopefully she returns on Monday, we think. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Well, I got a little good news for you, Scott Parks. We now know when humanity will in fact be destroyed.
That's the good news?
Yeah, that's the good news. We're down to our last 5 years.
Are we talking AI or nukes?
No.
Or both?
Neither one, believe it or not.
What?
Giant asteroid.
What are you talking about?
In 2029, an asteroid called Apophis or Apophis
Spell it.
A-P-O-P-H-I-S. They said it is a potentially hazardous asteroid, so that means it's a big one. And it will, it's expected to
350 meters across.
Yes. And it's expected to close the distance to within 1/10 of the distance between the Earth and the moon. So it will fly by us with any luck, 10 times closer than the moon is.
Says here, will Apophis hit the Earth? Not anytime soon. It definitely will miss the Earth in 2029. And in 2036, and radar observations of Apophis during the asteroid's flyby in March of 2021 ruled out an impact for at least 100 years.
They're a lot more confident than I am. Me, I personally am rooting for the giant asteroid, but...
What?
You know, we've had a pretty good run. Humanity's done okay by itself for a while. You're good to go
in the next 5 years?
I think it's time.
You have kids.
Have you personally seen the trends lately?
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, we won't have to worry about AI. We won't have to worry about nukes. We won't have to worry about any of that stuff because the giant asteroid will take us all out.
It orbits the Earth every 324 days.
So, wow. Really?
This thing is, like, bothering us.
It's just out there bugging us.
I see.
They say that it will close at a distance of less than 20,000 miles from Earth in 2029.
That's pretty close.
The moon is 250,000 miles from Earth. So, yeah, it's 10 times closer than the moon.
So we would be able to see it.
Potentially. I guess it's 1,100 feet wide, so yeah, I guess if you've got the right equipment, sure.
I don't even think you would need the right equipment.
I don't know. Something that big? Yeah, how far away would it have to be before you would need like a telescope or something like that?
It is 606 feet wide.
Yeah.
It weighs 27 billion kilograms. Sam, can you give me that in pounds?
That's a lot of kilograms.
Now, you guys know if we start today and we start getting all the best drillers in the world and we assemble an amazing team of drillers and we teach them to be astronauts, Sam, we could launch a rocket and land them on the asteroid. And if we're just good enough, we might be able to nuke it from the inside and break it into a million pieces.
Would we have to have two different crews? Would their taxes have to be forgiven?
I think so.
For the rest of time.
Criminal records wiped clean?
Yes.
Are we going to be able to keep Bruce Willis alive that long?
Would we put animal crackers in our girlfriend's underpants?
What?
Have you never seen Armageddon?
Yeah. I don't remember that part.
Oh, you forgot the animal crackers scene? It's real awkward. It's actually the scene where they played that song.
Maybe I blocked it from my memory.
Where Ben Affleck is putting animal crackers in the underpants of Steven Tyler's daughter.
Liv.
Yes.
Okay.
He's making comments about how the animals are climbing mountains.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go see that movie again. I saw it in the theater. I haven't seen it since then.
So. What?
How long ago was that?
That is the 1996.
Okay.
And it was the greatest, awful, great movie of all time.
Oh,
1998.
Yeah.
1998.
Was it 98? Okay, sorry.
What was the other one? There were two, right? Armageddon.
Twister.
No, but there was Armageddon of the giant asteroid movies. There were two that came out like right next to each other. Armageddon was one. And what was the one with Tia Carrere? Not Tia Carrere. Tia Leone. And I don't
hang
remember
on,
what it was
on,
called.
Hang on. I'm looking it up right now.
Remind me the number you wanted me to put into pounds because I forgot. I was too busy coming up with my joke.
26 billion kilograms.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hang on. I'm looking up the Tia Leone. Man, she's hot.
Yeah. Well, 26 kilograms is 57 pounds, so it would be 57 million pounds.
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. That's the one. Yes. With the Ellie, the extinction level event.
Mm-hmm.
They were both terrible.
No.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they were.
Armageddon is a.
They were great, terrible, but they were terrible.
I mean, like, what movie is it that, like, because see, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm at home on any given weekend.
Yeah.
And Armageddon or Twister are on. I'm watching.
Sure. Oh, remote stoppers.
What is your awful great movie?
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's awful great, but it is the movie that no matter what part of the movie it is, it could be the first 10 seconds, it could be the last 2 minutes. It doesn't matter. I am stopping the remote and watching the rest of the movie is Jaws. That will always.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely. That one's always going to be there. From the awful good Earthquake? I haven't seen it in forever, but that was one of my favorites when I was a kid.
Earthquake?
Yeah, that was one of the three movies that came out in Sensaround.
By the way, this asteroid, I converted it. Your math was almost correct. It's 57 billion pounds.
Oh, 57 billion. Okay.
So I rounded that down to an even 57 billion because who needs the other million pounds?
Sure.
Right. It is the equivalent of 1.5 million school buses. Since we need to know.
That's a lot of school buses. Why are we so bad at math that we need that? You know, that we need to, well, it's 17 giraffes tall.
They always do that. They're like a rock the size of a minivan is headed to the earth.
My favorite one was, I saw this in a headline once. It said, a road in Montana was blocked by a large stone the size of a small boulder.
Hmm.
It's like, a large stone is a small boulder.
They wore out the thesaurus that day.
You're no kidding.
By the way, the movie Earthquake came out in 1974.
Yeah, right. And
Charlton Heston
was in it.
Ava Gardner.
Yep.
Lorne Greene.
And it was right. Like there was a bunch of disaster movies.
Victoria Principal.
Yep. Towering Inferno with O.J. Simpson came out that same year. And Sensaround.
Huh.
Did you ever see any of the movies in Sensaround?
No.
I saw that one in the theater. What they did was they had these giant low-frequency speakers that were so low that you couldn't hear the sound. It was below 20 hertz, but you could feel it. So Midway was one of them, the story of the Battle of Midway.
World War II.
Earthquake was another one, and there was one called Roller Coaster that was another disaster movie. So what they would do is at certain times of the movie, they would pump this low-frequency noise into the theater so you could feel yourself in your seat vibrating.
You and I are the same age.
Yeah.
And how is it that I never saw these movies?
I don't know. Did you? Well, see, movies were Dad's thing. So he used to take us to the movies a lot. I saw almost every movie that came out from about 1973 to about 1980. Dad also took me in 1981 to see American Werewolf in London, which changed my life. That movie is incredible. And Damnation Alley. Oh, all right. You want to talk about good, bad movies? Damnation Alley, 1974 or 75.
Looking it up right
Jan
now.
Michael Vincent.
1977.
Was it that late? Really? Okay. Jan Michael Vincent's in that. He's like the main guy. And it's a post-apocalyptic, like the nukes have gone off and it screwed up the Earth's axis and it made everything weird. And it's...
George Peppard was in it.
Yes, that's right. It's fantastic.
Jean Michael Vincent.
By the way, since I know you guys are begging to know, that asteroid is the equivalent of 11.4 million minivans.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
Thank
it's
you.
A big rock.
Which may be all the minivans.
I hope we don't have that many, actually.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's going to hit the Earth in 5 years?
Maybe. Probably not. But it's going to come within 20,000 miles of the Earth in 2029.
That's actually pretty close.
I'm waiting. I'm going to be out there with a lasso.
But how often do we have these near-miss stories? And typically the near misses are like 1.2 million miles. But I feel like it's once a week NASA gets bored and they're like, hey, we're relevant.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have to.
We're not sending spaceships up anymore. So we need to be relevant somehow.
You see that rock? No, you don't, because it's so far away.
913-586-7798. Festivus Friday, if we don't get into Operation Stormwatch. Festivus Friday coming your way at 5 o'clock this afternoon. 913-586-7798.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
The Clash.
Do you remember the album?
Something London, Calling London.
It was not London,
London
Calling.
London Calling.
It was not London Calling. Rock the Casbah was on Combat Rock.
Really?
Yep.
Why did I think it was on London Calling?
I don't know. That's a good album. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on London Calling. But yeah, Rock the Casbah was Combat Rock.
Huh. Jay in North Kansas City. Jay, good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hey, safe. It's bad weather. Hope you're doing okay. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, Rock the Casbah, man, Clash is awesome. I want to tell you about a good bad movie. You talk about the 70s, Inferno and Earthquake and those kind of movies. Then we moved into zombies, I don't know why, in the 80s, you know, Michael Jackson and Thriller. There's a great movie called Evil Dead Part 2 with Bruce
Love
Campbell.
It. Evil Dead Part 2? All three of the Evil Dead movies are absolute must-watches. But yeah, you're right, Part 2... It started out more in the horror genre, and it went a little comedic over time. It was
1987.
Wonderful. Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, so I asked you guys, what kind of car was it? At the end, Bruce Campbell, he drops into a car into medieval society with his, you know, arm chopped off with a saw and turned into his arm. Remember
right.
that car?
I don't. That was the beginning of Army of Darkness. And yeah, that was the third one of the trilogy. And I can't remember what the car was. I'll have to look it up.
Evil Dead Part 2. I never even heard of it.
You've never watched it? Yeah, Evil. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shame you there.
You don't movie shame me.
I will not. But Sam Raimi, the original Evil Dead, was one of Sam Raimi's first feature films as a director, and it was brilliant. And it again, like American Werewolf in London, struck that balance between horror and comedy really well. Evil Dead 2 was great. In terms of horror movie sequels, though.
So, John, hang on just a second.
Yeah.
The budget for Evil Dead Part 2 was $3.5
million. Yes. The budget for Evil Dead Part 1, I believe, was under $1
million. The box office was $6 million. Nobody went to see it.
It was great, though. I mean, it was one of those movies that had a much bigger life on cable, I think, than it did in the theater. But
are you sure?
Oh, yeah. And the third one, Army of Darkness, was just crazy. I mean, there was a literal army of skeletons that was laying siege to a castle. I mean, it's insane.
The budget for the Evil Dead Part 1 was $375,000.
Right. 1979?
1983.
Was it 83? Okay, yeah. All right. But yeah, they were all great. And that was Bruce Campbell got his start in Evil Dead.
Yeah. It had a box office of $2.7 million.
There you go. And I mean, that's...
Nobody went to see it.
No, that's 1983 dollars. That's 10 times what it cost to make the movie. I mean, I'll take that.
$2.7 million?
Sure. If it cost you $300,000 to make...
I don't even know who Bruce Campbell is.
I don't either.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. He's been in a bunch of TV series. You look him up. Do a Google image search. You'll know who he is.
No, Sam, here are the movies that he's been in. You ready? Within the Woods.
I 100% know who that is.
Never heard of it. Crime Wave. Never heard of it. Maniac Cop.
Maniac Cop was awesome.
Sundown. The Vampire in Retreat.
Yep.
And Bubba Hotep.
And Bubba Hotep, also an amazing movie.
Okay.
Let me
that
tell you.
Nobody's ever heard of.
Let me tell you what Bubba Hotep is about. Bubba Hotep is Bruce Campbell plays Elvis in a nursing home.
Okay.
And the deal is that he's actually Elvis, that he switched places with an Elvis impersonator back in the 70s. So he tells everybody that he's the real Elvis, but nobody believes him.
Uh-huh.
And he's in this nursing home that's being plagued by a demon. And the demon comes in and sucks the souls out of all the old people in the nursing home. And the only
conversation is sucking out my soul.
And the only two people who know what's going on are Elvis, played by Bruce Campbell, and JFK, played by Ossie Davis.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
By the way, I know Bruce Campbell from Burn Notice.
Burn Notice.
Sam in Burn Notice.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, he's done a bunch of TV series and stuff like that. He's awesome. He's great.
Well, let's go to Eric in Lenexa. Eric, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello. You were talking to the speakers that for Earthquake and all.
Mm-hmm.
One reason there wasn't a lot of theaters with those is they had to have structural tests done to the theater before they installed those things.
To make sure it wouldn't rock the walls down, yeah.
Yeah, and I was probably about junior high. I didn't get to see any of them.
Yeah, the other problem with it is that, you couldn't stop those sound waves from going through the walls of the theater. So there'd be somebody watching Bambi in the next theater, and they'd all of a sudden start shaking. They wouldn't, because they were playing one of the Sense Around movies next door.
Okay. You're into some really weird stuff.
You're not telling me anything I don't know. I love weird stuff. I love weird movies. I love it whenever somebody takes an idea and says, you know what, this may sound crazy to everybody other than me, like, JFK and Elvis being in the same nursing home. But
because neither one of them really died.
Exactly.
Right.
And but if you take that and you just completely give yourself over to the premise and you do it right, then I'm there. I'm with you.
Have you seen the new Elvis movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So we saw that. Sam, I think I told you this. We saw that down in Cancun. And wow. What a great movie.
Yeah, it just came out.
What was the name of the star? Who's the guy who plays Elvis in it?
Sam, help me.
We'll get it. He was incredible. He was a revelation.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks as Colonel Parker.
Colonel Parker, yeah.
Wow.
Austin Butler.
That's
Austin
him.
Butler, that's
yeah.
right.
That's yeah,
right.
And I knew him from absolutely nothing before I went to mm-hmm, see mm-hmm. The Elvis movie. And, yeah, he was just brilliant.
Now, the first hour I could have done without, I was like, okay, let's move this thing along. Because it was 3 hours long. And we had gotten into bed. We were in Cancun. We got into bed. And the only English channels were Fox News.
Yeah.
And then all the HBOs. So we're not watching Fox News.
Right.
And so we would go to HBO every night.
Because you're afraid of the truth? Is
yeah,
that what it is?
Because I'm petrified of the truth.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't want to hear it. And I just want to hear lies. And so I can't watch Fox News. And so we would watch HBO every night. And we were going through the HBO channels. And there it is, Elvis. And it had just started. And I'm like, I go, babe, can you... This is a three-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm good. I'm good. First hour, could have done without. Boring. But the last 2 hours, you're like, wow. Wow.
My, yeah. It seems to me you're like that with a lot of movies. You don't like setup.
No.
You want like, get to it and
yes,
let's go.
Like Oppenheimer, we watched Oppenheimer about a month ago.
Yep.
And the first hour of Oppenheimer, I could have totally done without it.
Sure.
Let's get to the meat.
Tell me the story. Get it. Let's get into it and let's get it done. And I totally respect that. But I don't know. Like I said, I'll go along for the ride. Another one of my favorite movies recently, and I do have a penchant toward horror. We were talking about sequels earlier. The very first Hellraiser movie was excellent. The second one, Hellbound, Hellraiser Part 2, 10 times better. I mean, just such an incredible movie.
Is that the guy with the
Pinhead? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's four of them. They're called Cenobites. There's Pinhead, Chatterbox. Oh, Lord. It's been too long. I don't remember the names of the
like
other two.
Child's Play?
No, those schlock horror movies, they don't do much for me. But I like... I never got that into Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ooh, I love... The first Nightmare on Elm Street.
The first one was
the oh my
yeah,
god.
The first one was okay,
dude. I'm literally walking home looking under cars
for Johnny Depp.
No, Robert England.
For Robert England, yeah. Well, and he was in an adaptation of a Stephen King short story called The Mangler that actually turned out to be not that bad a movie. But yeah, he's good. He just talks too much. I am much more akin or attuned to like the unstoppable mute plotting Mike Myers Jason Voorhees.
So you love like Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Halloween was the other series that kind of went along those same lines. But the comedy movies, the ones that are actual comedies, like Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Is one that makes me howl with laughter.
Great movie.
It's so funny.
You've seen it?
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil? Oh, yeah. It's a more modern one.
Yeah, that one's 10 years old, 12 years old, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
And very, very funny. But, yeah, the second Hellraiser was just... It was one of those that I sat there,
what's
eyes
the guy
wide
with the
open.
The chopped off horns on his head?
Yeah. Oh, that's Hellboy.
Oh, Hellboy. Okay.
That was the same guy that was in Name of the Rose with Sean Connery.
The first Hellboy, pretty good. The rest, I don't know what they were doing. They were just trying to cash in on the fact that the first one got a lot of views.
You don't think that's how they did Halloween and Friday the 13th?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Friday the 13th part 12.
Jason versus Michael.
Uh-huh. And then Alien versus Predator, and then Jason versus Predator, and Alien versus Michael.
Speaking of aliens, it's Alien Day.
Is it really?
It is. It is, in fact. We'll get to that in just a moment, because there's a story about a UFO over New York City. And the story says, here's the truth.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
The truth is out there.
It was on Fox News.
Stop it. Stop it. You're going to get me in trouble. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. John Grayson in for Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. So today, Sam is right, today is National Alien Day. the unofficial celebration of the movie Alien and all of its sequels. Fans picked this day based on the planet where the alien species is first discovered, LV-426. April 26th.
That's hilarious, by the way, because I did not realize that Alien Day had anything to do with the movie Aliens. I was just trying to draw a weird connection between the fact that we mentioned the word alien.
Speaking of aliens, a flyer has claimed to witness a UFO while her flight was above New York. As per a report in the New York Post, the FAA has informed the Post that they are looking into the issue of this unidentified flying object. The commercial airline flight passenger has been identified as Michelle Reyes. Reyes, on her Facebook page, claimed that she witnessed a flying cylinder from the window of the aircraft while flying above LaGuardia Airport on March 25th. She also shared a video of the incident.
Mm-hmm. You mean a rocket? See, I was listening yesterday.
The space canister.
It's called a space canister.
Yeah. Yep. The giant space canister.
And that was the last time we heard from Reyes.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
What would have happened to Reyes, Sam?
I mean, I don't
would
know.
Would she have been abducted by the government and
maybe
forced
aliens
to keep her mouth shut?
Who knows? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she changed her name. Maybe she didn't want the limelight anymore for being the first person to ever see a real UFO. I don't know.
She's not the first.
All the other ones were fake. Right. I think that's the case he was
Nobody making. Ever took a picture. She took video.
You know, on that subject, I don't know if you saw this the other day. There was a study done of all of the Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah.
And do you know what they all have in common?
They're all fake?
They all happen in areas where there are also a lot of bear sightings. So they're taking this to mean that people are just mistaking bears for Bigfoot. But I think they're ignoring the possibility that maybe Bigfoot eats bears.
Get out.
Bigfoot's interdimensional. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, right, because he can disappear behind a tree.
No, he can walk into... Do you ever hear the interview we did with that guy?
I did. It was fantastic.
And he said that Bigfoot could walk into a tree and disappear.
Yeah.
And Sam...
So can Homer Simpson, by the way.
He's never taken a picture of Bigfoot because every time he has seen him, he is in awe.
Right.
Aw.
It's okay.
No, nobody ever decides to whip out their camera when they see a UFO or when they see Bigfoot. Why? Because they don't exist.
Yeah. That's what they want you to think, Scott.
Okay. Get out.
We're inching too close to the truth. Is that a bunch of black SUVs?
You want to know what's funny about that? I actually saw, we were doing the show in Nashville many, many years ago, and my producer and I were standing outside before the show smoking a cigarette because I still smoked back then. And I used to make fun of the black helicopter crowd just nonstop. So we're standing out there.
You mean the tinfoil hat crowd?
Oh, yeah. Three black helicopters come screaming across the sky. And I'm like, Richard, tell me you just saw that. He's like, oh, yeah. So we went in, and I'm playing with it on the air, just totally joking around, like, you're never going to believe it. These three black helicopters flew right over the radio station, going from over here to over here. And I see the hotline start to ring.
You know all helicopters are black.
Well, I guess. But so I'm I see the hotline start ringing, and my producer is, like, waving at me from the other room, going, you know, giving the cut sign and all of this. And I'm like, I'm going to have to break now. We'll be back in a minute. And as it turns out, we got a call from the United States Secret Service saying, cut it out.
Really?
It was Al Gore.
It was Al Gore?
Yeah. It was his helicopters that were, because he lived in Clarksville, Tennessee. And we were in Nashville, just a couple of miles south. And he was flying the helicopters to Nashville Airport to fly back to D.C. And they were like, shut up.
John Grayson, what are you doing tonight?
Going to see Roger Klein of the Peacemakers at Knuckleheads. Thank you for asking.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, good times. Come on out. See the show.
You're a big fan of this guy.
Huge, huge fan.
All right. John Grayson filling in for Dana Wright. Do appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you
as always. Really enjoy doing radio with you. Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!